Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 8, 9 and 10. Yeah, so if whoever wants can have a take a Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we'll read the text 8, and then there are other verses. I'll just read the translation. Verse 8, chapter 17. Yeah. So, everyone has verse 8. Ayu, duration of life. Sattva, existence. Bala, strength. Arogya, health. Sukha, happiness. Priti, and satisfaction. Vivardhana, increasing. Rasya, juicy. Snigdai, fatty. Sthira, enduring. Hridaye, pleasing to the heart. Aharaha, food. Sattvika, to one in goodness. Priya, palatable. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balaroga. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara sattvika priya. Ayu sattva balarogya. Sukha priti vivardhana. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Ahara Satvika Priya. Ladies. Ayo Sattva Valarogya. Sukha Priti Vivardhana. Asyasnikda Tindra Hridya. Ahara Satvika Priya. Ayu Sattva Malarugya Sukha Priti Vivardhana Ahara Satvika Priya. Okay, so I'll read a translation of text 8. And since there's no purport to text 8 nor 9, I'll also read translation of text 9 and 10, and then I'll read the purport. Translation to text 8. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Text 9. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Translation to text 10. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The purpose of food is to increase the duration of life, purify the mind, and aid bodily strength. This is its only purpose. In the past, great authorities selected those foods that best aid health and increase life's duration, such as milk products, sugar, rice, wheat, fruits and vegetables. These foods are very dear to those in the mode of goodness. Some other foods, such as baked corn and molasses, while not very palatable in themselves, can be made pleasant when mixed with milk or other foods. They are then in the mode of goodness. All these foods are pure by nature. They are quite distinct from untouchable things like meat and liquor. Fatty foods, as mentioned in the 8th verse, have no connection with animal fat obtained by slaughter. Animal fat is available in the form of milk, which is the most wonderful of all foods. Milk, butter, cheese, and similar products give animal fat in a form which rules out any need for the killing of innocent creatures. It is only through brute mentality that this killing goes on. The civilized method of obtaining needed fat is by milk. Slaughter is the way of subhumans. Protein is amply available through split beans, dal, whole wheat, etc. Foods in the mode of passion, which are bitter, too salty or too hot, or overly mixed with red pepper, cause misery by reducing the mucus in the stomach, leading to disease. Foods in the mode of ignorance or darkness are essentially those that are not fresh. Any food cooked more than 3 hours before it is eaten, except prasadam, food offered to Lord Krishna, to the Lord, is considered to be in the mode of darkness, because they are decomposing. Such foods give a bad odor, which often attracts people in this mode, but repulse those in the mode of goodness. Remnants of food may be eaten only when they are part of a meal that was first offered to the Supreme Lord, or first eaten by saintly persons, especially the spiritual master. Otherwise, the remnants of food are considered to be in the mode of darkness, and they increase infection or disease. Such foodstuffs, although very palatable to persons in the mode of darkness, are neither liked nor even touched by those in the mode of goodness. The best food is the remnants of what is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord says that He accepts preparations of vegetables, flour, milk when offered with devotion, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Of course, devotion and love are the chief things which the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts. But it is also mentioned that the prasadam should be prepared in a particular way. Any food prepared by the injunctions of the scripture and offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be taken even if prepared long, long before, because such food is transcendental. Therefore, to make food antiseptic, eatable and palatable for all persons, one should offer food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, these three verses talk a lot about food. I brought with me all this setup. This is for watching a little bit movie. It's called the Tasty Travels in India. Is the show? It's a show, I think, in Hungarian show, and it went on Hungarian TV. And so what it's showing, this one is it's 20 minutes, and it's about how they cook. It's a cooking breakfast in the Gurukul, Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami's Gurukul. And so Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami's Gurukul there is a little bit. They're trying very much to apply the teachings of Prabhupada and Krishna. There are different levels, as we see, food prepared in different modes. I actually cooked there for a month or so, maybe 2 months. So I got to see how they do it, and it's very nice. Couple observations that I made while reading I, of course, life has brought me to different Ayurvedic doctors and things like that, and diseases and so forth. And this makes this what Krishna is saying very alive. I'm sure many of you have also experienced what is said here, the too bitter, too sour, too salt, hot, pungent foods. And so the modes, they are related with them. Many problems, actually, most health problems come from what we eat. And so we can see it's quite a facing kind of verse, where we see what we eat and why we have certain conditions. So basically what it said is we should eat healthy. I was once visiting one doctor in India, and Ayurveda doctor, and he told me how in Europe, we should have really good digestion, because it's of a little bit colder climate. In India, the happy season is winter, because there the vegetables grow, actually. For the rest of the year, it's kind of difficult, more expensive, basically, the vegetables. So he says that, like, the happy season for doctors, the good for the people, everyone, the healthy season is the winter there. And he says also that the people of the north of India, or in the Himalayas, a little bit higher up, where it's a little bit colder, they have a more healthy diet, because they eat the chapatis, etc., and then they have the vegetables also. So he was saying, you in Europe, you also have the should have really no digestion issues, because the climate is cold, and in this way, the fire of digestion is quite well, is heating. That's why we see in India, they drink hot tea, even though it's really hot, and they eat pungent foods, spicy foods, in order to help the digestion, because when it's outside hot, then inside cools down. Whereas here it's a little bit outside cold and so it heats up. But the funny thing is that we notice a typical food here is a lot of fermented foods. Typical French, a meal would be some cheese and bread and meat and wine, right? Okay, maybe you have some salad. But it's all like pretty fermented foods. And so we have the good digestion here, the climate for, but eating foods would be categorized mostly in the mode of ignorance, which have, the bread would be the yeast in a sense, the germs of the yeast, and cheese has been fermented, and then wine is fermented, and meat is fermented, so it's all kind of difficult on the stomach. So Krishna is giving, it's quite nice to see really practical information down to what you're supposed to eat. And also, what is funny is how different people are attracted to different food stuffs. There's the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who made a Gaudiya Mat in Indonesia or something. Correct me if I'm wrong, but somewhere in Indonesia, they had a building that they rent part of a building, and they started to have their Gaudiya Mat there and would cook with ghee, and so the neighboring in Indonesia there's some kind of a tradition where on the rooftops they would have a container and they take all the, let's say, animals who die on the road and all these things, they really basically dead animals, meat, fermented food stuff, they put it all on top of their roof in some container, and then once a year it becomes some kind of a liquor and they drink this on a festival. This is very disgusting the animals would get killed on the road, these kind of things, so in the sun or something like that. It becomes ferments anyways, these people, when the Gaudiya Mat started to cook in ghee and that smell, they started to complain very much. They had big difficulties with the. They complained that they would need to vomit or something from the smell of the ghee, because it's such an opposite nature, really. I found it funny story in regard how we are repulsed from different kinds of food depending on which mode of nature we're used to eating, etc. Of course, Prabhupada points out at the end that it's all about offering it to Krishna and then eating it, and how even that food is transcendent. That can be that's the leftovers we can eat from the devotees and from Krishna. About this Gurukul, somewhere else Prabhupada quotes, I can't say exactly the number, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it speaks about different foods or a food that helps form the finer tissues in the brain. These finer tissues are said. So basically, Prabhupada describes those finer tissues as helping in understanding the self, questioning our identity. These type of foodstuffs, they actually create these finer tissues in the brain, which make us go towards spiritual topics and think about the goal of life, really. And such foodstuffs. Our milk, he says. Also, the chanting of the holy name creates these finer tissues of the brain, and beautiful gardens and so forth. So, basically the mode of goodness. So, Bhaktivedanta Punaswami in Mayapur, he takes in consideration these three things, and it's a very beautiful area there. He creates nice parks, etc. And the boys, they all get to drink milk. So we'll watch this, and then after we can have some questions and answers like that.
Transferred from the elements of cooking into the food itself. And then by eating that, then we'll get the most benefit. The Vedic concept is that the culture may be very elevated, but the lifestyle itself may be simple. So here then we see with the simple use of the cow dung for the fire, the pots that we use here, they're made of pure copper. Copper conducts the heat the best, so it actually gives the best transfer of heat to all parts of the pot, so everything in the pot becomes cooked heat. Then, in using it, then they'll use wooden or even sometimes steel spoons, depending upon if the preparation has a tendency to stick or not. If it doesn't have a tendency to stick, then the wood is preferable, as it will cause less scratching of the pot. And if not, then the internet will be able to move. So this is milk, boiling milk now. And so that's done. We also, in doing this, we keep controlling the fire. Then we also keep some water there, just in case it gets too much. Then we can also put a little water in case you want to go down. Or you put more cow dung inside, and then you go up, or you put your stick, and you fluff the poles, and you'll get. Interesting thing about cow dung is that when we use it, it works the opposite of the wood. So many times people get bewildered by how to use it. That wood, you need air. And the more air there is, the better it burns. So you need the coals to be separate and the wood to be separate. But in the cow dung, it's actually the more compacted the coals are, the bigger the flame. So it works differently. Our boys, when they first were starting to learn, it took them 9 months to understand that. So there was a lot of smoke in the first summer time. So it's rice. So flat rice, then simply it has to be soaked in water. And then because it's so thin, then it becomes very nice. So it's very good for making very light meals like a breakfast or a snack. That very convenient. So this is very fine rice. This is Gobindo. There's different kinds of rice. We have parboiled rice, and then you have akka, which is unboiled. And of that, also then we have different seasons. The seasons in the winter then give a very good yield of rice, but you don't have much fragrance because it's planted in the winter, but it's harvested when it's hot in the spring. Then the spring rice that is planted in the spring is harvested in the beginning of the rainy season, which is also still hot in summer. But then this rice comes when it's planted in the summer season, but it bears fruit in the winter. So the fragrance of the rice is not lost.
Then it's good for
the black pepper that is going to balance the, the influence of the ghee. And now this is salt. Salt will be put for both the vegetables and for the black rice. So now we're going to put in the coriander leaves. And then that will be, then we'll do the final mixing.
Eating is usually done with the hands, as according to the tradition, this is how energy is transferred into the food. Feel free to try. Thank you for your attention. See you later.
Minutes. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. So most of the things that there. When I was cooking, it's not easy, you know. Taking there's no handles, there's no increasing, decreasing the fire, and all this. There's no soap, and you get a whole different, setup of things. And so it takes some getting used to, but very satisfying food. As it's said, you know, it's I was quite amazed, because normally I'm not so satisfied with 2-3 meals a day, 2 meals a day really. For the first time while eating there, then I wouldn't have a problem with 2 meals a day, breakfast and lunch there. Because I was going there for the day, and my testimony towards the cow dung cooked food is quite positive, because I managed to be satisfied with 2 meals a day. Any comments or questions or what is it? 8:30 breakfast, and so everyone cooks. Almost everyone cooks breakfast. Quite a big team for cooking breakfast, and big team. And lunch is at 1, I think. Or no, actually 2 o'clock. Sorry. Pretty similar, yes. And then they have in evening, not so much, but they have milk and puffed rice or things like that. Yeah. They have this fan to increase the fire. Add gutte, they call it. Dried up cow dung, and for the milk when it's boiling, then what you do is you spoon it up like that, and then it's quite Yeah, I was always in charge for the milk, so full focus, because and then bring it as high as possible, it's all art. It's funny. but it's, they're quite a lot of milk, actually. Milk for breakfast and milk in the evening. Sometimes milk sweets at lunch. So... the fruits, also grapes, and then chira, flat rice, soaked flat rice with... No, just soak it. The steamed vegetables. Yes. Yeah. Hing, mustard, cumin, and... turmeric. Yeah. Now, when I went there, this was a few years ago, and now this time when I went there, they're having their own garden mostly, and because and then they try to buy not so, they even sell their garden is quite big, and they sell some vegetables, and of course some they buy some things they buy like ghee or not always ghee. But most things nowadays they're getting from their garden, and spices our hand crushed. I remember on this bati, they call it stone, because that's also a different kind, and the wet, wet crush or dry crush you have. And like for the hing is also this. Most of these spices, they're like, yeah, the original rock salt and sugar rock sugar, and they use gur and sugar and yeah, all the kind of motor goodness foods. And yeah, studied it pretty well. They have a book, cookbook, a Bengali cookbook of 100 years old. And they yeah, mostly cook out of that book. And all these funny Bengali vegetables, they have learned them. Shall I read the verse translation once and then see if there's any question and end? Yeah. So, translation. Foods dear to those in mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten, food that is tasteless, decomposed, and putrid, and food consisting of the remnants of untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. So it's quite controversial. If you're a cook, it's not always easy to follow all these rules. And but yeah, it's interesting to know that Krishna gives us such details. Any comments? Question? Yeah. Can I have a mode of goodness food team? I mean, it's prasadam, huh? You want a copy of the movie? Yeah, they have a website. I don't know how much is published. I think somebody needs to do it. Have something on food. I'm not sure. No, I don't know anything specific on food. But there's a lot of, I mean, Ayurveda knowledge of how in Ayurveda a lot is found about these things. It's quite common knowledge for and. In India, about a lot of about these things, and and a lot of people have experience really with different types of foods, and it's a quite instant result type of thing, so. Thank you. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.